Christ is risen. Christos anesti. Christos voskresi. Christo alma fufuka. Christu numeriuku. The last was Kikuyu, and the second to the last was Swahili. And I love those. We've been saying Kikuyu forever. Now I'm going over to Kenya, where the tribe predominantly in that area is Kikuyu. As I was listening to the hymns about Pascha today, especially today, because it sort of settles a little bit, you know. And the hymns are all about incorruption. And then I was comparing that sort of in my mind to what I learned when I was not Orthodox and what salvation was when I wasn't Orthodox. It was kind of about forgiveness, because we were so sinful and God was offended by our sin. So Jesus had to do something so that we would know God would no longer be offended, as if God would change his mind, go from being offended to no longer being offended, like you could appease him, like giving a gift to someone who's angry at you or something. That was the understanding that I had. I came into Orthodoxy and there's this freshness, this vitality, because it's all about incorruption. It's all about Christ's power going down into Hades, breaking the bars, and how that applies to us in this life. I'm really convinced that our problems in life are because we look at the external things in our life which are corrupt, and even the way we lived, which has corruption in it. We're lazy, or we don't say our prayers like we should, or we have bad thoughts and things like that, or our life situation is not what we want it to be, or we have friends or loved ones that have serious problems and they never seem to get better. All that stuff that happens. Every single one of us has this stuff going on, and you could sort of call it corruption, let's say, right? It certainly isn't incorruption, so let's call it corruption. Let's call it the human condition. Let's call it life on this earth, but not in the next. We're called to incorruption, and this incorruption is occurring in us now. So if we focus on that, then I know positively that we would live in Christian joy and we would overcome many of the problems that we have because of the way we think and because of the way we act. Christ is risen, and therefore death is slain. There is no sting to death anymore. The fathers teach that the reason for sin is fear of death. But perhaps that doesn't make sense to you. It didn't make sense to me when I read it so many times, because I thought, well, if you're afraid of death, why wouldn't you not sin so that you don't go to hell? But it doesn't work that way. The way it works with our mentality is if you're afraid of death, then you want to get done what you can before you die. You want to collect the things you can before you die, because in the next life it might not be so good for you, or perhaps maybe there's not even a next life. So get done what I can now. But if you have no fear of death, you know that in the next life there is life, full life, not the kind of life we have now, which is this partial kind of troglodyte thing where we're sort of good and we're often bad, and we see terrible things and we see wonderful things, and we see this whole mishmash of stuff that is incorruption mixed with corruption. Well, what happens when you mix incorruption and corruption? What happens if you have bad meat and just a little bit of it and mix it with good meat? Anybody want to have that meat now? Nobody wants that meat. Even though a small bit of incorruption was put into it, who knows if you're going to get the bad part or not? Not too many people are going to want to eat it. So that's the way it is in this world to our eyes, but it's not actually what is spiritually happening. What's spiritually happening is incorruption is happening in us. Of course, incorruption, I suppose, I'm using it like a verb, because it is a verb. We are becoming incorrupt. And Pascha teaches us about this. Pascha is, of course, the feast of feasts, telling us what's going to happen. Now, the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty about how to do it, Pascha doesn't completely explain, except only that we should have this mind that says, Christ is risen, and therefore death is slain. There is no sting to death. And we should believe these things that are sung. There's another way that Pascha teaches us something about how to think. So many of the hymns are about the myrrh-bearing women. They go, what are they coming for? They're going to anoint a dead man, but he's not dead. Imagine the incredible, beautiful surprise that they had. Because they were looking through earthly eyes. They'd seen him on the cross. They'd seen him bleed. They'd seen him taken off the cross dead. When they were going to the tomb, he was dead to them. And he was already alive. So there's this mix of despondency and expectation of joy that should be occurring in your life. A perfect example of it is also one of my favorite feasts, the Feast of Lazarus Saturday, when Martha comes up to him and said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then he says, I am the life and the resurrection. Do you believe this? And she says, I have believed. What's this have believed? What's this past tense? I am believing. I'm continuing to believe. It completely affects my entire life. That's the resurrection acting in you. So we learned, I think, these two things from the Paschal hymns. One is that frail human beings encounter the resurrection, and they didn't always do exactly the right thing, did they? It turned out okay for them, more than okay. But they didn't always do exactly the same thing, the right thing. And that's what's happening to us. So God is encountering us where we're at in our pitiful state and lifting us up. And then the other thing about the Paschal hymns is that incorruption is happening now. And we should have that joy that it is happening. If we have this understanding, it's a great skill to have, then we encounter life and the terrible things in life without allowing them to beat us down. I think that's really the secret of triumphant Christian living. My mentor and my patron, St. Seraphim, he went around all the time saying Christ is risen to everybody. I made a little joke after on Paschal, Holy Friday, Saturday, that when I said Christ is risen, and people were like, kind of like, oh, can he do that? Because it's sort of like a little rule, you know, you can't say Christ is risen until midnight, you know? And I said, well, my St. Seraphim said it all the time. Can you imagine going around the monastery saying Christ is risen on Good Friday? He must have made the abbot lose all of his hair. But for him, he was living in the resurrection, right? So we should try to live in the resurrection. Things are not so bad. Things are actually very, very good. In the world, things are terrible. Absolutely terrible. Horrendous. And we should weep because of those things. Absolutely. You should weep because of those things. But don't just cry. Don't just be depressed about it. Don't just be mad. But pray. I'll close with one thing. I want to find it someday. If somebody finds the quote, please tell me about it. It's in Ordinary Saints. Is that what it's called? Ordinary Saints, I think it's called. Fantastic book. Written by now Bishop, or maybe his Metropolitan Tikhon. He was an Archimandrite when he wrote it. And there was a novice who was all down in the mouth all times, kind of depressed and just kind of dragging his feet, and he looked always unhappy. And the fathers were commenting about him, and said as they went by or something, he says, his problem, he's crying because he doesn't weep enough at night. So save night for weeping. Save night for crying. But definitely in this life, you shouldn't be always happy. If you're always happy, there is something wrong with you. Something spiritually very wrong with you if you're always happy, in terms of never having great sadness over the way the world is. So weep at night. Say the Jesus prayer at night. Pray with drops of blood, if you're able to, at night. But live in the resurrection, in the day, and in the night, even in the midst of your weeping. And then you'll overcome. That's the message of Pascha. Christ went down to Hades to make us incorrupt. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's a beautiful thing. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Adios.
Christos Voskresi.
Adios.
He's back.
Yes.